singing like that makes you want to have another song. And so, but I'm glad the message is whosoever meaneth me. I'm glad the Lord gave out the message that whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life and can do that freely. It doesn't cost anything. As we mentioned this morning, it was not cheap. There's a cost to that. And it's the the price. The price was paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, we want to sort of continue on with maybe some of the thoughts this morning on the salvation that we have and use an example of that salvation that God has given to us. And I guess one of the most familiar people in the Scripture is the Apostle Paul. And God gives to us in Acts chapter number 9 the account of his coming to the Lord, his encounter with God. And certainly salvation is something that is not just a flippant thing that we do. Salvation is not something we just determine some one day that I think I'll get saved today. It is a work of the Spirit of God upon the lives of individuals. And certainly in Paul's life we see the Spirit of the Lord working and the message given to him. And Paul considered himself the chief of sinners. He considered himself the worst of the worst. When he talked about some of the places in his writings of his personal testimony, he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Jew, and he held very highly in high regard the doctrine of the Jewish traditions and the things that were given, and how that those traditions of men had overshadowed the truth of the work of the Lord. And Paul said, I was a Pharisee. And of course, studying the Scripture, we know the Pharisees, they were a very strict sect of religious people that were Jews, and they were considered to be very, very fundamental, and they took things very literally of what the Lord had given to them, as should be. But they had gone to the extremes in so many areas that the word Pharisee now is a bad word. It's a word that has the connotation of better than thou. They thought they were better than anyone else. And so Paul says, therefore I was in my religious standing. But when he got saved, he realized the Lord had saved a sinner. And he considered himself the worst of the worst. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. And so tonight we're going to read his conversion, the things that's connected with that, and to realize what Saul got one day you and I received. Same thing, same message, same salvation, and the same results. And you and I one day going to heaven because that is the result of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading in Acts chapter number 9. And we'll begin in verse number 1, read down through verse 16. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men were which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name, or my name's sake. Here we have the account of the, I call it an encounter. I don't know of any other way to put that, the meeting of Saul with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul had a reputation that was going, that went before him, even to Damascus, for this this man that the Lord was speaking to. He said, I've heard of by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. So Saul had a reputation, and it was a reputation that he was very angry against the work of the Lord. And Saul was a very zealous person, and he thought that he was doing that which was right. Saul, in his heart, in his mind, he was following the will of God. For he was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, and anything that disrupted their ideas or their doctrine had to be wrong. And so, really, Saul thought he was doing God a favor and doing God a service by persecuting that renegade of people that's called and were later called Christians. They're not called Christians until Antioch. But now here we find that anybody that was found of this way, those little three words, of this way, represents and means those that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul was a persecuting sinner. He considered himself, as I said earlier, he considered himself a chief of sinners. When he realized the things that was in his life, when he understood his sinfulness, he felt as though God had saved the one that was worse than anyone else. And I don't know how many people I've heard giving their testimony, when God saved me, he went to the bottom of the barrel. When God saved me, he saved the worst. And that's what we really feel when the Lord shows us what we really are. When God shows us how he sees us, he sees us as a wretched, ungodly individual. Now, we classify people. We classify sinners. We'll say, well, that fellow, he's not a Christian, but he's not too bad. Well, I'm not sure that's a very good way to describe someone that's not a Christian. A person that is not saved, according to the Word of God, he's miserable in his sin, and he's away from God. He's a foreigner to the good things of the Lord. He's a sinner. We talk about little sins and big sins. God just talks about sin. And Saul here was certainly, if we were going to classify him, we would classify him as he did, as a terrible sinner against God. He was a persecuting sinner. Saul of Tarsus hated the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated the name Christ. He hated the work of Christ. He hated everything that pertained to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he was doing what he thought needed to be done, and he's getting rid of all these folks that are in this way, all these folks that are following this man called Jesus. For he had already heard, of course we know the crucifixion of the Lord took place there in Jerusalem, and Saul was in that area, and he heard about all the activities that Jesus did. He had been influenced by, I'm sure, the high priest, for he was a very knowledgeable individual in Scripture. He had studied at the study of a man by the name of Gamaliel, which was a very knowledgeable individual. So Saul was not he was not ignorant of what the Christians believed. He was not ignorant of what what they were doing, and he was totally against that, and he felt as though the best thing he could do was just take care of that. And anybody that's in this way or this thought or following Jesus of Nazareth, he said the best thing we can do is to put them in prison or to kill them. And we know that Saul was very instrumental in the death of some Christians and gave his voice of opinion and gave his voice of authority that they would stone. And, of course, the story is given concerning Stephen. And Saul held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death, and he gave his authority or his voice that they would stone that man called Stephen. And, of course, we know he was a very dedicated Christian and was ushered into the presence of the Lord. And Saul was there, and Luke uses the word, he consented to the things they were doing. And so Saul was a terrible sinner. And when we think of sinners, when we think of how he persecuted, and so these first verses, he's breathing out threatenings. He is stating certain things. He's threatening the people that are following the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are the disciples of the Lord. And so he goes to the high priest of his own volition, and he asks for permission to go to Damascus. And if he finds anyone in this way, if he finds anyone that is following the message and the work of the Lord, then he's going to put them in prison, or he's going to have his voice to destroy them. And he was certainly guilty of the blood of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was exceeding mad against them, the Bible says. He was not just content with persecuting them, but he desired that he would go not only in Jerusalem, but even into strange cities to persecute the people of God. And so when you look at the life of Saul, when you look at the things in his life, we would certainly say he was a persecutor. He was a sinner. He was a lost individual that needed God. And so as we read the story, we find that he meets this man whom he hates. He meets the man called Jesus. In verses 3 through 8, we have the conversation that takes place. It says, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And then the Bible says he fell to the ground, and there's a great light shined about him. And he falls to the earth, and he hears a voice speaking to him, and he calls him personally by name. I'm glad my salvation is a personal salvation. I'm glad it's not just was general to me, but it was given to me as an individual person, just as it was unto you. And so the Lord speaks from heaven, and he says, Saul, Saul, getting his attention, he says, why are you persecuting me? Well, Saul wasn't persecuting the Lord. He's persecuting the Lord's people. And so we understand that when we persecute, and when people persecute the Lord's people or the Lord's church, in reality, we are persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are multitudes of people tonight that are in different areas of the world that are literally suffering because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I've mentioned it before. I have on my phone, it's called The Voice of the Martyrs, and every day or so I get an alert of some people somewhere or a group of people that are undergoing persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very reason for that is that we take time and we pray for people around this world that don't have it as easy as we do. They don't have the freedom, they don't have the liberty that we have to worship the Lord. And even this past week I read that China has instituted a new law that any person under the age of 18 is forbidden to go to a Christian church. And the churches that are there, they are being told now they have to put up a sign that people under 18 cannot enter the doors of a church. I think there's three places that under 18 could not go. One was to the liquor joints, the beer places, and other, I forget what the other one was, and the third one was churches. And the reason for that is the devil hates the gospel, because the gospel will break the bonds. The gospel will break the chains of bondage that enslave multitudes of people today around this world. And certainly Saul was one of those men that was being used of the devil at that time, and to destroy the people of the Lord. But he came in contact with a Savior. He came in contact with one that asked him, "Why are you persecuting? Why persecutest thou me?" How touching a plea this plea is from the Lord. He calls him personally by name, "Saul, Saul, why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me?" And he reveals himself to Saul as the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one that Saul hated. And he says, "Why persecutest thou me?" That's a personal call that came from the Lord. And one day that personal call came to you, came to me, and we understood that the Lord was dealing with us. Everybody else really didn't matter, but God was dealing with me individually, and the Lord was speaking to me as a person whom he knew. And so it's a personal call, and Saul immediately says, "Who are you, Lord? Who's speaking to me?" And the Lord reveals himself, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus." Thank God tonight, one day the Lord revealed to us, and the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." As far as we know, Saul had nothing to do with the crucifixion of the Lord. As far as we know, Saul had no authority as far as the Sanhedrin at that day and at that time. And Saul had never, maybe had never even really come in contact with Jesus Christ. But yet Jesus said, you're talking to the one whom you are persecuting by persecuting the people of the Lord. And so Saul learned that he was known in heaven. That voice from heaven came to him, and he says, "Who's speaking? Who's talking to me? Who are you, Lord?" He recognized authority. He recognized that one that was speaking to him that had authority, but he didn't know who it was. You know, there's a lot of people tonight living that know a lot about the Lord, know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know him. They have no personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Saul learned that he was known in heaven and that the Lord was interested in him. You know, I believe it's an important thing that we understand God, Jesus Christ, is interested in this world. He's interested in individual people. He's interested in moms and dads and boys and girls. He's interested in grandfathers and grandmothers. He's interested in everyone that knows him not, and he can give them a personal call to come. And so we find that Saul has this encounter with the Lord, and it's the pleading of the Savior, "Why persecutest thou me?" And Jesus Christ looks upon him, and he gives him exactly what he is doing. And he learned that the one in heaven speaking to him knew his heart, knew what he was, knew what condition he was in. And he understood that this is not just a passing thing. This is something that is very, very important. So you come down to verse number 7. It says, "The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus." Here we find this man Saul. He realizes what's taking place. Now he cannot see. Now he is physically blind as he is spiritually blind. He had to be led to Damascus, and by the time he got to Damascus, his whole manner of life had changed. His whole thought process had changed. His whole way of thinking had changed. And so he comes, and he is repentant, and he is convicted at the sight of glory. He sees the light from heaven. Now he cannot see, and he opens his eyes, and there he sees no man, and he's led into Damascus. What an encounter he had. What a message Paul, and many times Paul would restate and give his testimony of this time of salvation. We have at different times given our testimony of salvation, And you know, it never does grow old. It never does grow out of date. I enjoy giving my testimony. I enjoy hearing testimonies of people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And it's because we are repentant toward God, and we realize that He knows everything about us. He understands all of our faults. He knows our sin, and He reveals them to us, and that's why we can come unto Him and follow after Him. If I was to ask tonight for some testimonies, some of you would stand, and you would be able to say on a certain day or a certain night, what might have been a Sunday, might have been a Monday, or whatever night, whatever day it was, we can testify as how the Lord saved me. When the Lord came into my heart, and Saul now has had this experience in his life that he's met the one whom he hated. And the Scripture tells us that without God, without the grace of the Lord in our life, we are a hater of truth and we are a hater of righteousness. And so we're no different than Saul. Saul's salvation is no different than our salvation. It's that common salvation that we dealt with this morning in the message. And so Saul comes now. He realizes, and he has an understanding given to him concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5, he discovered the Lord of glory. He discovered who Jesus Christ really was. It wasn't who he had heard about. It wasn't who he had his opinion about. But in verse 4 and 5, he learned who the Lord was. He learned who the Savior was. He learned who the Deliverer was. He learned who the Messiah was. For Saul was a very strict Jew, so therefore he was looking for the coming of the Deliverer. He was looking for the Savior of mankind. And he, like so many Jews, he missed that. He did not have that complete understanding until he met the Lord. You and I tonight, we never have a complete understanding about the workings of salvation and the work of God until we meet the one that is the author of our salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so when we meet him, he gives us the total story. He gives us the total understanding of what goes on in the life of an individual and how that we are saved from our sin. Over in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul, of course, is writing to a young preacher. We've stated that so many times. Timothy was, as Paul called him, his son in the ministry, or his son in the gospel. Saul now has, his name has been changed. He is Paul. He is an apostle of the Lord Jesus, whom he hated. And in his ministry, there are people that have been saved. There are those that have come to know the Lord. And there was one by the name of Timotheus, or we call him Timothy. And he was a preacher of the gospel. He was a young man, a young preacher. And Paul writes 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy to him individually, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so what he says to Timothy, he says to you and I, but he writes it personally to him as a letter. And he states here in verse number 9, he says of chapter 1, 1 Timothy, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man. The law is not made for those that are righteous. He says, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul said, I'm not here by my choice. I'm here because the Lord, who I persecuted, who I hated, who I despised, he put me in the ministry because he counted me as a faithful individual. He says, putting me into the ministry, and he now identifies what he was, who was before a blasphemer. Paul said, that's what I used to be. Thank God for used to be's. Thank God we're not what we were. Thank God we're used to be in so many areas. And so God, the Lord counted him faithful. He pushes, thrust him into the ministry. He said, I wasn't always there because before that, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But then he says, but I obtained mercy. Thank God tonight for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he shows mercy upon us as he did Saul. And he says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul said, all those things in my background I did ignorantly. He said, I did those because I was an unbeliever. He really is saying, I did those things because I was what? A sinner. And you and I, we have the same background. We have the same testimony. Our lives sometimes have been torn apart and torn asunder, not because of somebody else, but because of our own doing. And Paul just says here, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now verse 15 is the verse I mentioned a moment ago. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, Paul could have stopped right there, and that would be a true statement. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to give that common salvation that we dealt with this morning. But then he goes on, he says he did that to save sinners, and then he says, of whom I am chief. So Paul tells Timothy, this young preacher, you're talking to the chief of sinners. You're talking to one that knows all the details and all the terrible things in his background. He said, but yet I met the Lord. And we read about that tonight in Acts where we read. He says in verse number 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. A pattern. What an example the Apostle Paul is to mankind. And he says, I obtained mercy. I did all those things in my background, all those things in my past. I did it in unbelief. I did it because I was ignorant to the things of the Lord. What a great testimony Saul has now as he has become the Apostle Paul. And we find here that he says, I did all those things, and I'm guilty of all those things. I'm guilty of casting my voice of yes to those that would destroy and tear down and kill people. I did all those things, but I did it in ignorance. But that day on the road to Damascus, the Lord showed him the truth and the life. Now the Lord revealed himself to this man called Saul. And so that's one of the places that Paul gives his testimony, and he said, I thank God, or I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me, literally thrusting me into the ministry. Thank God for his mercy. And Paul recognizes he is what he is because of the grace of God. Two wonderful discoveries were made by Saul that day when he was saved. First of all, he discovered that the Lord of glory was the man Christ Jesus. He discovered that the Messiah, he discovered that the Deliverer was the very one that he had fought against so hard and so diligent in trying to destroy all of those of that way. And you and I tonight, we're of that way. He says in verse 2, if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem. What way was it? Is the way of Christ. And he said, if I find anybody like that, I'm going to bring them back, and they're going to be bound, and many of them would have been killed. But he realized, he found out on that road to Damascus, that the Lord of glory was none other than Jesus of Nazareth, whom he hated. And he falls in love with him, and he does a great work. Then he discovered that that he had members here on earth with him that would be able to get the message out. He discovered that there was a message to be preached. He discovered that he was being put into the ministry, and he reveals that to Timothy. Now, verse number 10, where we read, we have here the servant of the Lord. Lord, what will thou have me to do? He's asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? How many of us have asked that question to ourselves? I wonder what the Lord has for me. I wonder what God wants me to do. How many times we have asked the Lord, Lord, what do you have for me? What is there for me in the work of the Lord? Now, it's not all to be pastors. It's not all to be missionaries. It's not all to be on the in the forefront of everybody seeing you. But God has, as I said this morning, God has a plan for all of us, and we just need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just as our salvation is personal, our work for the Lord is a personal work. I feel and have always felt that my two great days in my life, the first day of salvation when the Lord came to me, made me realize that I needed Him, made me realize I was a sinner, made me realize I needed God. And the second great day of my life is when I realized that God had a work for me to do, that God had a call and God had a message for me to preach. And so we come to a conclusion, Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what is there for me? I remember Brother Broughton preached that message one time. Is there anything left for me? And sometimes we get to the point of, is there anything I can do? Well, there's a whole lot of things that can be done in the work of the Lord. And when we do it for the Lord, it's a very important work. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how lowly somebody might say, well, that's not doing much. If it's for the Lord, it's doing what God wants us to do. I don't believe there's a low-class job. I don't believe there's a high-class job. We just serve God. We just come to an understanding of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul says in these verses tonight, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There in verse number 6. And he put Paul into a service. He put Paul into a ministry. And Saul becomes very faithful to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This proud Pharisee now had become a very humble servant of the Lord. Paul considered himself later on, as he writes much of the New Testament, he considers himself not as a proud individual, but he's a bondservant. He's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a master. He's not a slave. He's a servant. And there's a big difference. He didn't do what he did because he had to do what he did. He did what he did because he had a Lord. He had a Savior. He had a master. And he wanted to do all that he could do to do the work of the Lord. And I believe Paul was just as zealous for the things of God after the Damascus Road as he was for the things of the devil before. I believe Paul was a very dedicated Christian, and he was very, very persuasive in his ministry. If there's one person that I would like to have heard preach, I believe it'd be the Apostle Paul. I would have loved to hear his testimony and hear his wording of how that the Lord saved him. And so Saul now becomes a servant. He's not that proud, arrogant, hateful Pharisee. And he now is there learning and beginning to do the work that the Lord had for him because he had a job. I think it's amazing tonight, the very first part of Paul's life, the Lord lays out the will of God for Paul. His name hadn't changed yet. I keep using the word Paul. He is still Saul. Saul of Tarsus. That's where he was from. A little city on the seashore. Saul of Tarsus. And he comes to the place that the Lord changes his name to Paul the Apostle. And here when we read, and as we read tonight, we find that God lays out to us the very will that he had for this man's life. He tells us in verse number 15, he's talking to this man Ananias, and the Lord's given him a vision just like he met with Saul on the road to Damascus. Now the Lord's working on a believer in Damascus. And the Lord says, there's a man coming by the name of Saul, and when he comes, I want you to receive him. I want you to take him and lay your hands upon him, and he'll receive his sight. And Ananias, he was a little bit doubtful, and who of us wouldn't be doubtful? Who of us wouldn't have had the apprehension that he had? He said, I've heard about him. Have you ever heard somebody say something that about an individual? Well, I've heard about them. You know what that's saying? Is I've heard all the bad about them that I need to hear. And Ananias, he says, I've heard about this man. And he said, I've heard not from one, but I've heard of many, of the havoc and of all the problems. He said, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. So Saul had a reputation. And Ananias said, you want me to receive him into my house? I've heard from a whole lot of people what kind of individual, how wicked, how terrible, how sinful this man is, and you want me to receive him into my house? A little bit of apprehension there. And the Lord calms his fear, and he says in verse number 13, but the Lord said to him, and here, if anybody can calm your apprehension, it's the Lord. If anybody can calm your fears, thank God it is Him. And because He knows all there is. He's already heard that He's coming from Jerusalem. He's already heard that He has authority, has papers. As He asked for in verse number 1 and 2, He desired that He would have letters to Damascus. Whether it be man or woman, if they're in the way of the Lord, He would bring them bound back to Jerusalem. They'd be tried and possibly, probably, would be martyred. That's what Paul's intention was. And Ananias had heard about that. He said, you want him in my house? But the Lord says to him in verse number 13. Number one, he calms the fears of Ananias, for he tells him, he says, he is a chosen vessel unto me. He is a chosen vessel. We know what a vessel is. It's something that can be used. Now the Bible talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. A vessel is something that can be used. And so the Lord says to Ananias, he said, this man that's coming to you, he's someone that I have chosen. And he says, he's a vessel unto me. I have a plan for his life. I have a purpose in his life. And then the Lord reveals the plan and the purpose of Paul's life to Ananias before he reveals it to Saul. He tells him here in verse number 13, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Ananias, he's going to preach the name of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And you and I tonight, we better be glad that Saul understood the call that God gave to him, because the Apostle Paul went into what we know of as Europe and even went as far almost to Spain. And everywhere he went, he did what? He preached the Lord Jesus Christ. He established churches. Most of our New Testament is written to churches that were a direct result of the work of this man Saul that hated Jesus, that the Lord saved, and now he's a vessel. He can be used. And he says he's going to be used to take my name to the Gentiles. And thank God he did that. And you and I tonight are sitting in our country as a recipient of the grace of God from our ancestors, that most of our ancestors in Europe, they heard the gospel. We have the gospel given to us. Our nation was founded upon the principle that we had the right to worship God as we feel is right in our heart. We fought a battle over that. We fought many battles over that. And we're still fighting that battle to have that freedom and that right to worship our God. Thank the Lord tonight. Paul was obedient to the call. He was obedient to what the Lord had given him. First of all, he's going to bear the name of the Lord to the Gentiles. Not only that, he's going to bear the name of the Lord to King. Remember King Agrippa? Remember others that the Lord had Paul come in contact with, and Paul preached to them, Paul witnessed to them. And King Agrippa said, almost. And we find that Some would say, I'll have you come at another time, a different time, and hear you again in this matter. And so Paul fulfilled the ministry that the Lord gave him. Paul fulfilled of going to the Gentiles. He fulfilled of going to kings. And then lastly, he tells Ananias here, he said he's going to carry the name of Jesus Christ to the children of Israel. You read the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the first people he went to were the Jews. In the book of Romans, Paul says, I would to God that my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, he wanted them to be saved. He desired that they would hear the gospel. His message first was to the Jew. And the Jew rejected, and the Jew would turn his back, and the Jew persecuted Paul just like Paul persecuted those that were Christians. So he had the whole plan of Paul's life laid out. You know what? God has the whole plan of my life and your life laid out. He knows where we're going. He knows what he wants us to do. He desires certain things for us. And so he tells Ananias that he's a chosen vessel. He's going to carry my name. He's going to carry it. And we'll put it in the order. He first of all carried it to the Jews. He later carried it to the Gentiles. And lastly, he carried it to the kings. And even stood before the Caesar and preached the gospel unto him there at Rome. And so tonight, this preaching individual, this saint that we have before us, that's the Apostle Paul. And I call him a saint because he is a saint. And guess what? I'm a saint and you're a saint also. But you know why? We have a common salvation. God doesn't make us any better. God doesn't make us better than somebody else. We're saved by the grace of the Lord. And Saul begins to preach. The Bible says in verse number 18, we're in our chapter tonight. He says, and immediately there fell from his eyes, he had been scales, he received sight. Forthwith he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Paul's message was a message that this man whom I persecuted, this man I hated, he's the one we're looking for. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's our deliverer. And immediately he goes and begins to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the synagogues. That's the place of worship for the Jews. So he's beginning to fulfill the ministry, the will of God for his life. He goes to the Jews. They reject him. Now they hate the message. And then he sees a man one day. God shows him a vision of a man in Macedonia. That is a Gentile place. And the man of Macedonia, he said, come and help us. Come over and help us. And Luke says, immediately we endeavored to go. Luke was with Paul in most of his work and his ministry. And so he says, we endeavored to go. They went to that place and they began to preach. And not maybe a year or so back, we went through the life of the Apostle Paul, the journeys that he had. And it was in what we know of as Turkey. And Europe have those areas. Those churches were established. The preaching stations, the gospel was proclaimed, and multitudes came to know the Lord because one man one day met the only Savior there is, Jesus Christ. And it's given to us here in Acts chapter 9. Saul's conversion, Saul's salvation was a common salvation. Just like what we got when we got saved. Paul was a great missionary. Paul was a great preacher. God said he's been chosen for this cause and he's going to carry my name. And when you got saved that day and that, whenever it might have been, when you got saved, you have a work to do because we have a common salvation. Our work is before us. It is to be accomplished. Some things will go undone because we sometimes lack faith. Sometimes we just don't want to do. Sometimes we say, I can't do that. How many times I've heard and how many times I've said, God will never call you to do something that you cannot do. It may seem impossible. It may seem like a mountain that can never be climbed or a valley that you cannot go through. But God will never call an individual and never give them a task that they cannot do. Now, we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own flesh, in our own will and way. But God will provide and God will help us to accomplish His will in our life. And I'm glad I'm no different than you. And we are no different than Saul, fighting against the Lord before salvation, fighting for the Lord after salvation. Let's stand tonight and we'll be dismissed. I pray everyone have safety on the roads home, and ask the Lord to give us a good week. And just remember what we have. It's a salvation like everybody. It's common, not in the place that it's just cheap and doesn't matter, but we're all saved the same way, and it'll do the same work in my heart as it will in somebody around this world as it did in the Apostle Paul.